Was in Sheridan.
Merry Christmas from the Sheridan Commercial Company. Ho, ho, ho. Kurt Smith here. At the Sheridan Commercial Company, we know you have a choice when it comes to holiday shopping, and we truly appreciate you shopping with us. Thank you for your business. We've been earning your trust in Sheridan since 1892. Thank you, and Merry Christmas from the Sheridan Commercial Company at 303 Broadway.
Get great gifts for the workshop at Menards. Know you're getting the job done right with a level from Johnson Level. They offer a variety of levels, laser levels, and layout tools for incredible accuracy. Get a 24-inch I-beam level on sale now through December 24th. Hurry, Christmas is almost here. View our selection of Johnson Level tools on Menards.com. Plus, check out the weekly flyer for many other great deals happening this week.
This is Public Pulse, your information and conversation program, brought to you by First Federal Bank and Trust. You can voice your opinion by calling 672-KROE. That's 672-5763. Now, your host for Public Pulse, Floyd Whiting.
Tuesday, December 23rd. From Wyoming's Emerald City, I'm Floyd Whiting, and this is Public Pulse. This morning, we're joined by Sheridan Dog and Cat Shelter Operations Manager, Hannah Edwards, and Julio and Katusha Quintana. Good morning and welcome back to the show.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Now, how are things over at the shelter right now?
Really good. Slow, but good.
Slow.
Yes.
Does that mean intakes? Does that mean outgoing?
A little bit of both. Intakes mostly. We're pretty slow on intakes. We were able to, I think it was the last time that I came in to speak with you, that we had many, many, many animals on our surrender list.
Yeah.
Now we have none.
Really?
Yes.
The list is gone.
The list is gone.
That's actually a really, really good thing.
I hate
the idea that people have to turn their animal in.
Right.
But it's good that at least, okay, we'll get on the list. They're not driving them out in the middle of nowhere, dropping them off or things like that. How long did it take to get through that list?
Oh boy. A very long time. Sometimes, you know, some of the people that we would call, they've already rehomed, or they decided to keep trying, but I mean, it's been a very long time since we've had that list.
Can you remember the last time that list was clear?
Probably before I took over the operations manager position. So over a year ago.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And before that, I'm trying to remember, because Emmy always had a list too. And she was always working to get through that thing. And it just felt like the more she got out the door, the more came through the
Correct.
Door. And it was just a really tough time. So that's fantastic news. When it comes to trends, especially during the winter season, do you see intake trends change as we move into different seasons? Like, is there a particular season where you just kind of take a breath, roll your eyes, and expect all of them to come through the door?
Honestly, summertime is when we feel that way. I think because more animals are outside than anything, you know, and so we have a lot of people who, let's say, don't have a fenced yard, and their animals keep getting out. They can't contain them, you know, and they're getting tickets or just getting frustrated with it. And so I feel like that's when we get a lot more of our intakes.
Mm-hmm.
Winter does seem to slow down, at least since I've been at the shelter for almost 4 years now.
Really?
So yeah.
You're actually in your slow season.
Yes. Yes.
And it has been.
And it has been.
Well, that's good news.
Yeah.
What is the biggest capacity challenges that the shelter's facing, either right now or that you've seen since your time as operation manager?
With how full that we get right now, you know, this is our time right now that we're finally taking a breath and trying to focus more on behavioral management. How can we care for the animals that we have here instead of just feeling like we're, you know, drowning because of how many animals there are? So now we can really focus on, you know, the enrichment and different types of stuff that we want to do, which is
do a lot of training.
A lot of training.
Yeah. Well, I guess there's like the Unleash Foundation goes over there.
Correct. Yeah. So she does, Marion does most of our actual training, working with the dogs in general. A lot of the times, especially with how full that we don't get that opportunity to do so, just because it's cleaning all day.
All day long.
All day long.
You know, that's one thing. Whenever I'm calling for individuals to put an application in out there, ever since I sat here with Jill Moriarty the very first time, trying to make people understand, you know, a shelter job is a cleaning job.
Yes.
That's what you're going to be doing most of the time. Now, there are fantastic perks, you know, especially if you love animals. There's a lot of cuddling going on over there. But the majority of the time, you're going to be cleaning up.
Yes.
So when it comes to your dog department, how's that doing as far as like dog lead, things like that?
Great. I believe that we have a really, really good team right now. You know, everyone's been there for at least a couple months. I think they're, Lily, she is one of our dog kennel attendants. She's been there for a couple months, over 90 days. So she just had her 90 day. And so, and they're just very knowledgeable. They do what needs to be done. The flow is really good, which makes the job itself just so much easier.
Do you have problems keeping people? I mean, is there a lot of turnover and rotation at the shelter?
I think that there is.
Why do you think that is?
I think it's because it's a cleaning job. It's difficult. And not only just that, it's, you know, not only is it taxing on you physically, but you are taking care of animals, right? You're not just a janitor, you know, cleaning toilets and stuff like that. You're dealing with the emotional capacity of all of these animals. And there's all of that, you know, really good rewarding stuff when you see them get adopted. And then you also see the heartache stuff. And as much as we don't want to think that it affects us, it does.
Yeah. And after a while, it could really wear you down.
Absolutely.
There is some heartbreaking situations that happen over there.
And yeah.
I think it really does take kind of a different person, not someone who doesn't care, but someone who can kind of look at that and go, okay, so we just got to keep doing our best in the face of all of this.
Correct.
Or all of that. All right, switch of gears on you. As we go into a harder winter, we've gotten pretty lucky so far this year, in my opinion. I know skiers are totally disagreeing with me right now, but I feel we've had pretty a lot of luck, but it is getting colder.
Yeah.
And every year I like to talk to you about taking care of animals in the cold weather. There's a lot of things that I grew up watching some folks do that always kind of irritated me, for lack of a better term. And, you know, you and I were just having a conversation. We had animals when I was a kid that had no idea what the inside of a house looked like.
Right.
But they knew where their house was, where their water was. They knew where to get warm. We provided that. Could you tell me what an ideal dog bed looks like outside in minus 30 degrees?
Absolutely. I think, well, one, if you do have a dog house outside, you really need to make sure that it's set up for a dog that can withstand very cold temperatures. So you have your huskies and, you know, large breed dogs with heavy coats, things like that. Your chihuahua isn't going to want to be outside, even in, you know, a really nice setup of a dog house. What I have always known is, you know, just the hay, if you can have some sort of heater, if it can be large enough where, you know, there's a door flap, let's say, to kind of block out, you know, the winds, Wyoming winds. We've seen that this week, right?
Yeah.
Last week. Really just getting them away from that, the wind, the snow, the cold.
And you guys always end up suggesting like straw, hay over blankets.
Correct.
Tell me why.
Because the blankets, the moisture can freeze them. And so it can actually make things worse and it colder and freeze your dog or your animal, let's say, versus the straw.
Yeah.
Yes.
And I think that's something that a lot of people don't know. They think, you know, I'm going to pack a blanket out there and they're going to be nice and warm. But it gets wet.
Yep. And solid.
and then all of a sudden it's a block of ice. Do you ever see like a seasonal shift in the types of animals that are turned in this type of year? Do you get more cats or dogs during the winter?
You know, I think it would be cats. They like to be outdoors, right? I mean, they sneak out and they're really good at hiding. They're very independent, right? And so the cats, even if it's an indoor, you know, outdoor home cat, let's say, that cat's going to get out. It's going to get cold. It's going to find a barn if it doesn't come home or, you know, underneath the vehicle. And then it can get trapped or someone thinks it's a stray, brings it up. And so I feel like cats is really, we see a lot more during the wintertime.
So if folks have a cat that's missing, call, check with the shelter.
Yes.
He, she might be up there. You never know. Now, reviewing the year with me real quick, how popular was the spay and neuter program this year?
Very popular. Very popular. We have had, I mean, every donations that we, all donations that we've received, we get wiped out, you know, on a weekly basis because it's so needed in our community. And thankfully, within the last, I want to say 2 weeks, 3 weeks maybe, we have received an amazing amount of donations for the spay and neuter program.
Really?
Yes. And so we have funding right now if anybody needs any help to get their animals spayed and neutered.
And this isn't a seasonal thing. This goes on year round.
Year round.
So if folks out there need this done and they qualify, head to right. the shelter and get this done. This
yes.
is something that, you know, I feel like Bob Barker in here. I'm always trying to tout this program, but it is so vitally needed because
yes.
you see the results of people not taking advantage of this kind of stuff. And that's when our shelters get full.
Correct.
How many puppies and kittens? And I know you probably don't have a number, but have you seen more this year than years previous? Or is it kind of vice versa?
I think puppies we've seen less of, at least this year. Kittens, I feel like it's still pretty average from previous years.
Yeah.
Kitten season. That's kitten, what you know.
Kitten season,
and
yeah.
it tends, we see it a little bit later than normal just because, you know, they're out, you know, having litters and stuff, and then they get brought to us at a later point. I mean, we still have kittens right now. And so.
How many kittens you got over?
I think we have maybe up to 5.
All right. Now,
yeah.
before anyone gets too many ideas, I do want to say, animals for Christmas, I've never felt was a great idea. I'll be honest with you. But if some parents out there have got, I don't know, one of the kids wants something and they're ready to take on that responsibility, I think, what a great little present that would be on Christmas morning.
You Absolutely.
maybe not one for a partner or anything like that, but I would definitely say if the parents are ready. There are some kittens down there right now. Switch of gears on you once again. Vaccine clinics, something that kind of evolved into a scheduled mm-hmm. clinic as opposed to a drop by. Have you received any feedback from that?
Not to my knowledge. I mean, we haven't received any negative feedback from it. We get calls throughout, you know, after. I mean, even just last month, I received a phone call asking if we're doing our clinics, which we are, but not right now.
That is
right?
a seasonal thing.
Absolutely.
Isn't it?
Yes. Yep. And that's May through September.
Okay. Now, yeah. and we've talked about why it changed. The vet that volunteers over there, she gives them kind of a once over. She doesn't do anything, excuse me, too invasive. It's literally just like a little checkup.
Correct.
And if she finds something, hey, you might want to go talk to your vet about this.
Correct. No diagnosing.
Right. No diagnosis
yes.
coming out of that room. Well, that's good to hear that the vaccine clinic, were every single one of them full this year?
So we haven't even opened up booking yet. So booking will open May 1st.
I'm talking like.
For last year?
Yeah,
last year. We were full.
It's all full.
It was all full. Yeah.
Okay. That's good to hear.
If they show up, that, you know, sometimes we get no call, no shows, you know, people don't show up for their appointment, but the booking itself is always full.
Okay. That's good to hear. Vaccines are extremely important. How about the fostering program this year? Did you see a lot of fosters step up?
No.
Really?
No. Yeah. Unfortunately, since I've worked there, we haven't had too many fosters. And I think, you know, I don't want to make assumptions on why, you know, mm-hmm. I don't know if it's the community. I don't know if it's, you know, the dogs and cats that really need the fosters, if it's a behavioral thing with them. I'm not sure exactly.
You know what I like to think it is that they know if I foster this animal.
Then it would be a foster
it's
fail.
It's going to be a fail.
yeah.
They know if I bring one in here, it's going to be sticking around. Well, I would suggest that folks go ahead and take that opportunity. We fostered a few, and we had a foster fail that I talk about on here quite frequently. He's doing great, by the way. He just had 28 teeth removed.
I know.
Can you believe that?
Poor thing.
That poor little guy. But he is feeling a lot better. Now, when it comes to, before I take a break, I'm getting a signal, but I want folks to know you can volunteer at the shelter if you've got some time and you want to work with these animals. What can folks do over there?
Well, right now we have open positions for cleaning, so cat cleaning in the mornings and dog cleaning as well. And I think that Linda, she's the lead volunteer for dog walking. We are looking for one or two more people for dog walking, but that one is set for Tuesdays and Thursdays. So that one is on a schedule.
Okay. So yep. If you got some time to kill and you want to spend some time with some great animals, folks, head up there. If you're looking for something to do, they always need people to help clean. And it sounds like you can even get one of those, and it's rare to have a dog walking opening, in my, I think, isn't it? I mean, a
it
lot
gets
of
pretty
people,
full.
It
yeah.
gets pretty full pretty fast. People yeah. like to do this. It's fantastic. They got a trail right outside. I see a lot of people doing this. Before I go to a commercial break, what operational goals or improvements do you have, Hannah?
I actually just got done with a course, an 8-week course that myself and Marion did. On animal shelter behavioral management. And
really?
So my goals for the next few years is going to be, you know, working on the behavioral aspect of these animals and making sure that we can maintain a healthy environment and mental environment for them and help them get adopted.
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
Came home with a binder and you are ready to hit it.
Right? I am.
Yeah, that's great to hear. Yeah. That's great to hear. All right, we're going to have more with our dog and cat shelter right after this. You're listening to Public Pulse on 930 KROE and 103.9 FM. Sheridan.
You know what makes a big difference in life?
I know, making smart money choices.
That's why First Federal Bank and Trust partners with local schools and organizations to teach financial basics.
They make it fun and interactive with free materials, bank tours, and real conversations.
And we tailor everything to fit your classroom or group.
I want to get started right now.
You can learn more at efirstfederal.bank. First Federal Bank and Trust.
Investing in strong financial futures.
Hi, this is Jill Bates
and Colton Bates
with the Bates team at Best Real Estate.
During the month of December, we would like to pause and say thank you to our incredible clients and wonderful community. Your trust and support have made this year truly special.
As we step into the magic of Christmas, we are reminded of everything that makes this season shine. The laughter around the table, the joy of giving, the sparkle of lights, and the warmth of gathering with the ones we love.
From all of us at Best Real Estate, may your holidays be filled with good food, fun, and heartfelt celebration.
Merry Christmas and Happy Holidays.
SheridanMedia.com's Christmas online marketplace is, of course, closed, so get your items today. Get your certificates, pay for your items. Swing by our Sheridan Media Studios to pick up your items today before 5 p.m. We'll be closed on Christmas Eve and through the weekend to give a much-needed break to the Sheridan Media team. Thank you for shopping Sheridan Media's Christmas online marketplace. We've got some exciting things coming in 2026.
This public service announcement brought to you by Atlas Chiropractic. Your healing begins when you pick up the phone.
Attention, Hardin, Wyola, Lodgegrass, Crow Agency, Pryor, Lame Deer, Ashland, and Busby. The Marine Corps Toys for Tots is heading your way. Every child deserves a Christmas. Register, donate, or volunteer at sheridan-wy.toysfortots.org. Hope is only a gift away.
Good morning and welcome back to Public Pulse. I'm your host, Floyd Whiting, and this morning we're speaking with Sheridan Dog and Cat Shelter Operations Manager, Hannah Edwards, and Julio and Katusha Quintana. All right, Katusha, Julio, thank you both for joining us. Julio, she told me she drug you in here, buddy, but you look like you're all smiles.
I'm all smiles.
It's great to see you guys. Can you tell the listeners what makes this year's third annual New Year's Eve Gala benefit so special?
Well, I think is the theme this year is going to be very, very fun. It's a red carpet Hollywood, so people can dress up as movie characters or celebrities or just dress their best. So there's lots of options. And then we added this year a whiskey cigar lounge with special drinks, which I think people will enjoy. We also have two local bands, which in my opinion, some of the best musicians in town. And there is lots of surprise entertainment. So I hope people will enjoy.
Now, these are slowly starting to become kind of legendary. I've sat down with a few individuals. I've seen some pictures. But this is exactly what it's supposed to be. I mean, a true gala event. I know a lot of us end up having certain outfits in the closet that we never get to wear. We just don't have the event to wear them to. And this is the event. You get to wear that kind of stuff too. Now, tell me how it's going to be set up. You said like a red carpet. So in my mind, I picture out front of where you're going to have this, which is your ballroom, red carpet, paparazzi, red velvet rope.
You got it.
Really? That's what it's going to be. That's fantastic. Julio, how long did it take to get this all set up?
Man, I start hearing about this 6 months ago.
Yeah.
You know, every day. Julio, you know, help me out with this.
Now, when it comes to the themes, do you two sit down together and just kind of brainstorm ideas about, hey, what are we going to do this year?
It's all, she's the brainchild of this.
Yeah.
It's all her. I take no credit.
I don't know. I just like to change things up. Like last year it was circus, which was very bright and colorful and fun. And this year wanted to do something more glamorous and classy. So I don't know.
You know, I had a friend made sure that I got a couple photos of that carousel dress that you were wearing. How long did that thing take to create?
Well, thanks to Jeannie Peterson and my husband, they come up with ideas how to make it happen. I just had an idea, and I mean, they did it pretty quick.
She comes up with the ideas, and then she just delegates.
That's a proper manager right there, if I've ever seen one. Now, how has the community responded so far in terms of ticket sales?
Pretty good. Last time I checked, I think we're about 75%.
Oh, wow.
Yes, and that includes sponsors and their families and guests. So we still have 8 days, and I hope we can sell out. So if you didn't get your ticket yet, please do so.
Now, for folks who haven't taken part in this, what's included in the ticket?
Pretty much everything. You buy a ticket and all-night entertainment is included. There is lots of food, hors d'oeuvres, which included, and there is drinks. We have martini bar, wine, and beer. So those drinks will be included. The whiskey cigar lounge is extra.
Now tell me about the whiskey cigar lounge. This looks like something that
No whiskey, no cigar for Julio.
So you decided, you know what, I think this is going to be a really fun event. We'll kind of put this off on the side. Tell me about it.
Well, Whiskey Cigar Lounge, I think it goes well with the theme. And I think lots of probably gentlemen would enjoy it. And my husband, he went to Nicaragua especially for that and brought the cigars from Nicaragua.
Oh, wow. Nice.
I brought some good stuff.
Good.
They're going to like it.
Good. You know, I actually got to go to a proper Whiskey Cigar Lounge one time in my life. And it only took about 15 minutes, and I felt like I was a king sitting in there. I mean, it just had a special aura about it, sitting and having an individual look at you and say, you know what, try this whiskey with this cigar, and it'll change your life. And it really did. It really kind of opened up a whole new world for me. Next thing I knew, I was buying a humidor. And I puffed on cigars for a number of years. In the past years, proceeds have actually raised some pretty significant funds, over $24,000 last year, and all of that goes straight to the shelter.
Yes, all 100% of ticket sales go directly to the shelter.
Now, Hannah, I've talked to others about this in the past, but I want people to know what a restricted and unrestricted fund is and how funds like this can really impact the shelter.
Absolutely. So unrestricted funds mean that they do not have to, the proceeds do not have to go to one singular thing. So for an example, those that have donated to our spay and neuter program, those are restricted. So that will only be put towards that program. Or, you know, if someone donates X, Y, and Z, we had a gentleman that donated some money so we could buy cat hideaway boxes. That went strictly to that, right? And so unrestricted can go to the basic operations of everything. Our staff, cleaning, stuff that we have to buy throughout the year, our supplies, you know, animal enrichment things. It can go to a various amount of stuff.
And that's got to be pretty nice when you're sitting there and you're like, man, I need one of these. How do I go get it?
Right.
And then someone says, well, we've still got unrestricted funds. And you can literally just go pick it up.
Right. There's a budget every year.
Right. That
is, so, you know, we stay within the budget. But yeah, essentially.
I mean, if you find a need, you can actually fill it.
It helps.
And get it done.
Absolutely.
Now, making sure that everyone gets home safe, you guys have some volunteers or some drivers to make sure that's taken care of?
Yeah, absolutely. Katusha managed to get one driver, is it?
Yes.
One driver that, you know, you can make arrangements ahead of time so they can come pick you up at your home, bring you to the party, and take you home at the end of the day. It's like having a private chauffeur. It's awesome.
And that kind of adds to the whole star power of the theme, doesn't
yes.
it? I got a driver. I mean, that's pretty amazing being able to actually show up in that
the
way.
The only thing we need there is a limousine.
Exactly. Man, you know, I've been saying for a while, this. I haven't seen a limousine drive around this town. We need someone can make some money around here.
I do want to mention something about the value of this party. You know, you can go to like place like Denver and spend $150 or $200 just to get in the door mm-hmm. to a New Year's Eve party. And then after that, you got to pay for drinks. You got to pay for food. You know, you got to pay to get there. You know,
the cost of drinks, Julio.
Absolutely. I mean, right now for $175, you know, if we had to pay the cost of the party out of that $175, there wouldn't be anything left for the shelter. You know, thanks to the sponsors, you know, that are putting up the cost of the party, you know, It's a tremendous party and for what you get for that $175. You know, if you had to pay for everything that's included in that party, that ticket would be more like $250,
$300. Oh, easily, yeah.
Easily, you know. So it's a great value. And the fact that you can go and buy a ticket to have a great time and you're actually donating that money to the shelter. I mean, what an awesome thing.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, and the memories that come out of that.
You're going to have so much fun.
Oh, yeah.
This is going to be just a really fun night. I mean, Katusha is amazing at creating these parties. She creates an experience. You're going to go there and you're going to have an experience that you're not going to forget, you know, and that you're going to have such a good time. So I encourage everybody to come.
I would say the only, and I wouldn't even call this a negative, but the only thing is you do this once, you're going to want to do this again. I got a feeling. All right, Katusha, if I was out there and I was really looking to get a ticket, what's the best way I can do that?
You can purchase tickets through the Wyeth Theater, or you can call directly to me. My phone number is 307-752-7704, and we would get you a ticket.
Okay, fantastic. Folks, you've only got, 8 days left
yes,
to get your ticket.
For Christmas, it actually makes a really wonderful gift. So if you're still shopping, give us a call and we will get you the best Christmas gift for your partner or friend.
Yeah, all you guys out there that are having a hard time figuring out what to get your wives, this is it.
Oh, yeah.
She'll love it. It's an experience. That's the best kind of gift to get.
She gets the experience. The shelter gets the funds. Can't get any better than that. I want to thank you guys so much for coming in this morning. It's always a pleasure seeing you. Julio, I'm glad she drug you in here. It's good to see you, my friend.
Likewise.
All right. When we return, we're going to speak with the Natural History Museum of Wyoming. You're listening to Public Pulse on 930 KROE at 103.9 FM, Sheridan.
At First Federal Bank and Trust, we believe financial confidence starts with knowledge.
That's why they partner with schools and organizations to bring financial literacy directly to students and groups in our community.
We provide free educational resources, interactive bank tours, and real guidance from our team of professionals.
It's a smart, hands-on way to build a strong financial foundation.
Learn more or request a speaker today at efirstfederal.bank.
First Federal Bank and Trust.
Investing in strong financial futures.
Doug, I think I found my truck, the Silverado 3500 HD from Waring Chevrolet.
Bob, what exactly are you hauling?
Snacks.
Then you probably only need a 1500, buddy.
But the 3500 makes me feel powerful.
Well, good news. We've got all three, Silverado 1500, 2500, and the 3500 HD. Pick the one that fits your life, not your snack budget.
Can I test drive them all?
Yes, you can. Come in and see us, 107 East Alger, or online at waringsheridan.com.
Hi, this is Tim Kerr at Frackleton's, and when it's time to gather your crew or family for the holidays, make it memorable at Frackleton's in downtown Sheridan. Whether it's your company party or a cozy get-together with friends, Frackleton's delivers the perfect mix of upscale dining, handcrafted cocktails, and that festive Sheridan charm. Book your holiday party now. Dates fill fast. Frackleton's, downtown Sheridan's place to celebrate. Call or visit frackletons.com to reserve today.
Remembering the reason for the season, Jim and Brenda Haskett with Truebill Builders would like to take this time to say thank you to all their customers, friends, neighbors for another amazing year. There are many ways to express good wishes. A handshake, a joyous greeting, an exchange of gifts. May your holidays be merry and bright. Merry Christmas and Happy New Year from Jim and Brenda Haskett with Truebill Builders, online at TruebillBuilders.com.
Mule deer are on their way to winter ranges and could be on some highways too. Pay close attention for deer when driving, especially in early morning and evening hours. If there's one deer on a highway, there's probably another nearby. Pay attention to those deer warning signs. They're there for a reason. Reducing vehicle speed is your best bet. Collision repair costs are an incentive too. Wildlife vehicle collisions can cause a lot of damage, and slowing down can save both you and the wildlife. Sponsored by the Wyoming Game and Fish, the Wyoming Association of Broadcasters, and this station.
SheridanMedia.com's Christmas online marketplace is, of course, closed, so get your items today. Get your certificates, pay for your items, swing by our Sheridan Media studios to pick up your items today before 5 p.m. We'll be closed on Christmas Eve and through the weekend to give a much-needed break to the Sheridan Media team. Thank you for shopping Sheridan Media's Christmas online marketplace. We've got some exciting things coming in 2026.
Good morning and welcome back to Public Pulse, proudly brought to you by our friends out there at First Federal Bank and Trust. I'm Floyd Whiting. For our second part this morning, I am speaking with Natural History Museum of Wyoming Director Tom Hebert. Good morning, Tom. Welcome back.
Good morning, Floyd. How are you today?
Doing very, very well. It's a little bit chilly outside, but like I was telling the folks before, I can't really complain a lot. I know the skiers aren't great with it, but
I saw Antelope Butte's open. Yeah, I saw it was open, and the snowpack is a little lacking here. In that wind. I mean, we drove back from Missouri from my wife's uncle's funeral, and we weren't here for the windstorm and Rapid City. I mean, the signs are bent to the ground. I mean, street signs, metal poles bent right to the ground. And here we are still standing, the resilience of Sheridan. Here we are.
There we go. Now, you recently had the Discovery Gala, Night of Discovery. What were the highlights and what would you say was the overall turnout that for the gala they held earlier this month.
Somewhere between 160 and 170 people showed up that evening. And man, what a great night. Yeah. I mean, it was just, you know, so many highlights and so many things. You know, just amazed again at the turnout. I mean, Sheridan shows up. I mean, that should be like our slogan for the town. Sheridan shows up. Because that's what they do. And I mean, the bourbon pull went over great. I mean, we had people just, we had nothing left.
That's great.
We went through, what did we have, 40 some bottles of bourbon we gave away that night? That there was nothing left. And that, you know, one of them was a bottle of Pappy bourbon, which is extremely rare. And the guy who won it literally opened it up at his table and he said, I bought it. I'm going to have a sip of it right now. And, you know, we were lucky to have two phenomenal speakers, a young man, Cash Hancock from right here in Sheridan, fifth grade student, talk about what the museum meant to him. And then retired Lieutenant Colonel Stephen Davis was here all the way from Louisville, Kentucky to talk about his dig experience. And he had everybody in tears talking about his struggles with mental health and what this dig meant to him, and how when he went home, he immediately went to the VA and started, you know, counseling and working on his mental health and realizing that the problems he had with the world weren't the world's problems. It was a problem with him, and that self-awareness and self-discovery he got out digging dinosaurs and how it changed his life. I mean, there wasn't a dry eye in the crowd. Then we had some great prizes. People won trips to Hawaii and NFR rodeo tickets, balcony seats for the finals next year. And we made money. I mean, it's, you know, I had no visions of grandeur that we were going to make millions and millions of dollars. It's the first event we ever held. Nobody knows the museum exists. Nobody knows who we are. And so to make a profit was really exciting for us, and will really help us going forward, especially with our grand reopening we're having in January.
Now, how will those funds be used that were raised that night?
The funds will be used mostly for our dig programs for kids and veterans. We'll also be using it for some of it for signage and new exhibits that are going into the museum. We'll be installing. Today's actually our last day open for the year. We close at 1 o'clock today and we won't reopen till January 31st. In that time, that's, you know, what we're going to be doing is putting in new dinosaur exhibits and new displays, and it'll be really exciting when we reopen. So
giving like a big refresh to it. Was this something when you kind of became the director, you were like, you know what, this whole place kind of needs a little bit of a turnaround?
But it's one of the things for me, even growing up as a kid, and you take a field trip to the museum, and then the next year you take a field trip to the museum and you get there and nothing's changed. I don't need to come back. And so for me, it's always been one thing that's been very consistent is we need to put new stuff out on display every year. Mm-hmm. And that's really the goal with like our kids' digs, our vets' digs, is the stuff they find, we're going to put out on display next year. So people have a reason to come back in and see new stuff that was just discovered, and the museum doesn't get stagnant. Because the minute the museum stops growing, it's dying.
Yeah.
And so this is the one way we can make sure we continue to keep growing is having an active collections policy with our kids and vets' digs programs, and making sure that stuff goes out on display and people see it, and the displays keep growing and the specimens keep getting bigger, and we have more stuff out. And that's really, you know, why we're doing this, and we'll be doing it every year. So,
and that's pretty exciting that you can put out bones that were discovered by our kids and our veterans right here.
Yeah.
I mean, that's pretty amazing.
It is. I mean, and the joy that those kids and family members have when they come in and see it and go, I dug that up. That's my bone.
Yeah.
And
how cool is that?
I mean, just the you know, people always say, Tom, you're all passion. And I said, well, you know, it's easy when you're dealing with these people, that these kids, especially, and these veterans and the parents are all just like, this is the coolest thing ever, Tom. Our kid would have never gotten a chance to do this if it wasn't for the museum. And how can you not stay jacked up and excited about that? I mean, just how you can't help it and you just want to do more of it. And that's really what we're trying to do is how much can we do in a summer? How many dinosaurs can we dig up, and how much stuff can we get on display every year?
Now, you guys actually, excuse me, you revealed a new dinosaur exhibit during the
two of them.
What were they?
One is a baby T-Rex, roughly about 18 months old, who we auctioned off the naming rights, and his name is now Jesse. So we have Jesse, the baby T-Rex. Make sure you come and say hi to Jesse. Also say hi to Paul. Paul's still there, our Utah Ceratops. And then we had another one that was a full-size recreation of a Utah Raptor.
Wow.
18 feet long, roughly 8 feet tall, massive tiger stripe painted dinosaur in the museum now. That was auctioned off for naming rights. And the gentleman wants actually a UPS pilot. So he asked for some extra time on naming because he's a little busy right now.
He's got and a season.
So we'll have a new name by that for that dinosaur by January 15th and all new signage put out for that. And then we have a third dinosaur that we'll be assembling over the next month in January while we're closed. And that one's about 30 feet long, wow. 10 feet tall, full skeleton. I mean, it's an exciting time for the museum. It's an exciting time for Sheridan. Just really grateful and humbled to be able to be a part of this and be a steward for the museum because, like I say, this is the community's museum. I'm just a caretaker.
You know, growing up in Wyoming, when I was a little kid, I didn't really grasp how important Wyoming is to the dinosaur world. We have a lot of dinosaurs here, don't we?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you know, they say Montana's probably got the most dinosaurs, but that's just because it's, you know, 100 times bigger than every other state. They got a lot of dirt there. I've never crunched the numbers, actually, but I would probably venture a guess that Wyoming's probably got more fossils per acre than even Montana. Biggest problem is just getting out to do it.
Yeah.
And getting access. I mean, that's the biggest struggle that we have is getting access to land, whether it's state land or private land. Most people don't understand when you say you're going to come out and dig dinosaurs. A lot of people picture bulldozers and huge equipment. And no, we're coming out with paintbrushes and scalpels and dental picks.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
it's a meticulous process.
It is. I mean, a successful year for us will probably move 12, 15 cubic feet of dirt. It's not a lot.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not a, you know, very evasive program, but it's critical. I mean, there's so much stuff being lost every day to wind erosion. I mean, you just had 144 mile an hour winds. That literally blows dust around and rips these bones apart that are laying out. Water, I mean, all these things are eroding and destroying these bones, and we're losing this history. And it's one of those things that I tell people is every one of these fossils is one of one.
Yeah.
I don't care how many T-Rex femurs you find. I don't care how many Triceratops horns you find. I don't care. Each one of them is different. Each one of them has its own unique story. And we have a responsibility to not only collect that story, but share that story. And we have to me, it's a moral obligation to do that because the minute we stop learning and stop taking a look at this and identifying those differences, not just in fossils, but in the community, we're going backwards.
Yeah.
And so we really need to keep moving the ball forward and protecting as much of these, you know, significant treasures to this state as we can.
And a lot of people don't, I mean, we found a significant number, but the fact of the matter is, for a fossil to actually be formed, a very specific set of circumstances has got to be met. And so a lot of folks might think, wow, there's a lot of fossils out there. But not really, when compared to the animals that existed throughout the millions and millions and millions of years, the billions and billions of animals that are out there, we have such a very small percentage that actually met that criteria so that we could see them today.
Oh, absolutely. You're right on. I mean, some of the papers I've read in my life, less than 1% of all animals will ever fossilize. I mean, so you're talking, so for every one we find, there's 100 that didn't fossilize.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you start thinking about those numbers and you're right on. I mean, you're talking billions and billions and billions of creatures that we may never even know about because maybe none of them ever fossilized.
Yeah.
And how many species of animals exist that we'll never know ever existed because there's no evidence left. It's all gone.
That thought has crossed my mind where and, it's like how many species never was in an area to fossilize.
And every year, I mean, right now we're averaging almost 45 species of new dinosaur every year being found still.
Wow.
To this day. I mean, it feels like more than that to me recently. I mean, there's been probably a dozen papers in the last month of brand new species of dinosaurs coming out. We got a brand new Nanotyrannosaurus. That debate's finally over. I mean, it's not a baby T-Rex. It's its own dinosaur. I mean, they did really cool what's called histology. Basically, they cut the bone in half and counted the rings of the bone like a tree. And said, this is a 20-year-old dinosaur. This isn't a baby.
Yeah, it's fully grown. Yeah.
This is an adult. and so you have those discoveries going on, plus the new stuff that's coming out of the ground every day.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just a crazy time for paleontology. And, you know, it's coming at a good time because so many colleges and universities are eliminating their earth sciences programs. They're not even offering degrees in geology and paleontology anymore. And we still need people out doing these jobs. And hopefully it's something we at the museum, you know, getting these kids out on digs, showing these veterans that this is a job that they can do after their military service and get them involved and show them career paths and hopefully keep them here in Sheridan and show them there's geology jobs here. There's paleontology jobs here. There's, you know, hydrology jobs here. There's mining jobs here. All these things go back to earth sciences and getting them out and letting them feel the rewards of playing in the dirt and making discoveries. Whether it's dinosaur bones or a new coal reserve or, you know, big thing out there now is rare earth elements. And we still need people going to school for this. And if this is a way that we can use dinosaurs as a gateway to get them into the sciences, we have an obligation to do it. And I take it very personally and I'm very passionate about it. What do we got to do to keep kids going to school for sciences and then keeping them here in Sheridan and filling the jobs that are here that they don't even know exist? You know, and that's what we need to do. And that's what we're doing as a museum is telling that story of how important it is for people to be involved with this and know that this is a career field. And this is something that's a necessity. It isn't just a luxury. You know, we have to do these things. I mean, the old adage is if it can't be grown, it's got to be mined. It's the same thing. I mean, we can't grow dinosaurs in a petri dish in a lab, but we can go dig them up and save them and tell that story.
Now, you said that the museum is going to be closed for a little while.
It is.
You guys are going to get a little bit of a facelift. What are you guys doing in there?
We're redoing some display cases. We're bringing out some new material. For those of you that have never been out to the museum or to college to see it, there's a full skeleton called Caesar out in the main Whitney building on the campus. We actually have all the real fossils for Caesar that are going to be going out on display. So we got jaws with teeth and hand claws and foot claws. And we've got another dinosaur called Damien. We'll be bringing out Damien stuff with teeth and claws and just really updating everything that, okay, what can come out, you know, what can go in. And it's a tough decision because, you know, if I had the room and space, I would put it all out and let everybody see everything, but we just don't. So, that's probably one of the hardest parts of my job is deciding, okay, we have 12 of these vertebrae, we have 12 of these ribs, we have 6 of those arms. Which ones do we put out? Which ones, you know, where do we put all this stuff? And so, that'll be the biggest challenge in January because we closed today at 1:00. And then we will reopen again on January 31st with our grand reopening. We'll be open 9 to 5 on that Saturday. And you can show up for the event and come see, be the first ones in Sheridan to come see the brand new dinosaur, dinosaurs, plural, and see the new fossils that are out that have been in our storage and that you probably aren't even aware of here. I mean, we're talking, some of these are the coolest dinosaurs ever. I mean, everybody loves T-Rex, but Allosaurus was T-Rex before T-Rex. I mean, this is a 150 million year old predator killing machine, and we have its jaws and teeth in our collections. And, cool, you know, and I don't think it ever gets old when you're holding one of those and you're like, what has this done?
Yeah.
What has this eaten? You know, you can't even comprehend just how big of an animal this is. And then you're holding like a 6-inch tooth going, that's huge. And, you know, literally back to discoveries, a friend of mine up in Montana, Clayton Phipps, just dug up a 14.5-inch T-Rex tooth.
Wow. Holy cow.
And now we found the rest of the jaw with teeth in it. I mean, and we're finding this stuff and it's the largest tooth ever found. And it's the biggest jaw so far. And it's like
bigger than we thought could get.
It's massive. I mean, and how many more of those discoveries are out there and how many of those discoveries can be made by a kid here in Sheridan or one of our vets that's struggling with mental health. And you want to talk about changing somebody's life?
Yeah.
Give them that moment, that unique moment that's theirs and go, I did that. I discovered that. I dug that up. And it's, you know, it's transformative. I mean, and you can see it when you're out with them and you see their face and the way they light up and you can just see it kind of wash over them like, that famous ice bucket challenge. It's like a cold bucket of water. I'm like, wow, I just did something that nobody else in this world will ever do.
Absolutely. Because
you dug that up and it's that fossil is that one. It's one of one, like I said. And so we're super excited. I mean, we're a little disappointed we have to be closed, but it's really hard to get the work done with all the stuff that's going on in the museum with people in there visiting. But make sure you make plans to be there on Saturday, the 31st from 9 to 5, and come see our brand new 30-foot dinosaur and our 18-foot Utah Raptor and our little 5-foot Jesse the T-Rex. And, you know, back to your earlier question about the gala and the success. I mean, we would not have had the success and be able to do the renovations and things in January that we're doing at the museum if it wasn't for the attendees that I can't thank them enough for all the people that showed up, all the silent auction donors in this town, you know, and then all of our major donors. I mean, Sheridan Media, you guys stepped up and said, how can we help? What do we need to do? This is cool. We want to be on board with this. Sheridan Press, Citgo Credit Union, you know, we had Buck in Buffalo down with Craig Johnson and the crew down in Buffalo, Bombshell Tavern and Grill down there. You got Scott Foundation, Fremont Toyota, First Bank of Wyoming, Dreamwalker Adventures, Cross Stitch Emporium, Alpha Graphics. I mean, these are the companies that stepped up and just gave, and they gave till it hurt. And I can't say thank you enough to them, and I can't beg Sheridan enough to go visit these businesses, because it's your patronage to these businesses that allows them to make the impact with not only our museum, but all the other nonprofits and organizations they support. So it's important that you spend that money locally and go support these businesses, because it all makes a full circle. It all comes around. The dollar that's spent here today is going to be a, you know, 50 cents for the museum tomorrow.
Yeah.
Because these businesses give back, and I can't say thank you enough. And really I can't brag enough about the businesses and the people in this town they gave. So biggest shout out I can to the entire city of Sheridan, and thank you.
Tom, I'm running out of time with you, but before I let you go, one thing that I really want folks to know, how do they register, sign up for one of these digs? A lot of people want to get out there with it.
The easiest way is to go to our website, which is nhmofwyoming.org, and look at our dig page on there. You can sign up on there. The packet of information there, packing list is on there. I'd also like to quickly put out there that at our gala, one of our donors actually bought a private dinosaur dig and has donated it back.
Oh, wow.
And we are giving it away to a deserving family in Sheridan. So if you're listening and you know a family that's had a tough go of it or has kids that love dinosaurs but could never afford to go dig dinosaurs up, go to our website or go to our Facebook page and send me a message with that family's name, and we're putting them in a drawing, and we're going to draw a winner that's going to get a 4-day, all-expenses-paid dinosaur dig to a private ranch in Montana, thanks to this generous donor and the museum. And so please, feel free to send those names in. The more, the merrier. And who knows? It's Christmas. I might be talked into giving away, too, if we get enough nominations.
That'd be fantastic, wouldn't it?
I would love it, because, you know, when I started out in this field several years ago, I mean, one of the things that I was always important to me was to make sure money was never a reason that a kid never got a chance to do something.
Yeah.
And I still believe that with every fiber of my being is my responsibility is to make sure that opportunity is available, because there's so many opportunities in this world that the door gets closed on people because they don't have the right name. They don't have the amount of money. They don't have whatever. That doesn't exist with me. If you got an interest and you got a passion, we're going to make it happen. So, and this is one of the ways we can do that.
Tom, thank you so much, my friend. I greatly appreciate having you in here. And,
no, thank you, Floyd.
You're making the dinosaur doctors of tomorrow, my friend.
We're trying.
All right. You've been listening to Public Pulse on 930 KROE and 103.9 FM. Shared.
First Federal Bank and Trust, we believe strong financial futures start with smart money decisions.
That's why First Federal partners with K-12 schools and local organizations to bring financial literacy to our community.
We tailor our free resources to fit your classroom or group, offering interactive bank tours, materials, and in-person education.
Want to help build a financial confidence?
Request a speaker or materials today at efirstfederal.bank.
First Federal Bank and Trust.
Investing in strong financial